This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a
stand. Take a stand. Everybody. See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, the National Insurance Board, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday. No. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC 12. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I was listening to the news, of course, as I typically do during the day, paying attention, as all of us need to, what's going on in the country. And there's so much always going on in the country. Someone sent me a videotape of a school fight, 8 Mile Rock. A high school fight, and I had an especial interest in that because the principal of that school happens to be a colleague I graduated from high school with. In fact, he was my deputy head boy when I was at Hawksville High School and was head boy then. He was an outstanding athlete, a long distance runner in the country, and so I saw the fight, and seeing him as principal of that school dealing with the matter made it an even more curious situation for me. In this video, a student, male student, was fighting a police officer, a young police officer, and they were not having a squabble. They weren't having a little spat. They had a throw down, drag you, string you up, rip your clothes kind of fight. It was an ugly fight, and the principal was doing all that he could do to try and get the student off of the police officer and the students. Many students were around them, students videotaping, students commenting on it, using expletives as they described what the student was doing to the police officer, and it was like a gladiator type event the way it was carrying itself out. And it was just a remarkable thing to see. Remarkable. By far not the norm in our society. So I'm not about to get off and tell people, oh, look what the Bahamas has come to. Oh, our students done this and our young people that. That's not the norm. It's not the majority. But it was a display that should sadden, disappoint a lot of us. not merely the student fighting the police officer or the police officer fighting the student, because I don't know what happened. I don't know what precipitated the matter. I don't know. And so I'm not about to make any assumptions about what precipitated anything. I just know what I saw from the brief videos that were being circulated, right? But it wasn't merely the police and the student fighting, the male student. It was the students around there and their fascination and entertainment, and many of them by this, right? Not saying, oh my God, this is terrible. No, this should not happen, etc. Not, grieved that this has even gotten to this extent. You know, it was part of an entertaining situation for far too many of them. And I think that the situation should not be left merely to let's find out what happened between the police and the student. I think that warrants a collective discussion with the student body about observations made, about whether somebody tried to do something good in terms of trying to intervening, and the things that happen around there that may represent a social challenge to us. I remember when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, with the students in my Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program, and we had an incident in which a man hurled racial slurs at some of the students, and it was really awful, and the police came and etc. And a white gentleman who observed this man doing that approach
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farm King as a combo with fries and a drink. Or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying, poor mouth. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Thank you. back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Not quite sure where we cut off as I was trying to make my comments about how this incident you may or may not have heard about or seen the videos of, this fight that took place at 8 Mile Rock High School in Grand Bahama, and a male student and a police officer. Very, very unfortunate and ugly fight scene with lots of spectators cheering, commenting, using expletives and so forth. And I was saying that, that needed now to be dealt with, not merely in terms of the student and the police officer, but the entire student population, so that you could have lessons learned or lessons to be taught in the situation, because there is a way that we would like our young people to be socialized, even if they're not involved with the fight, right? Most were not involved with the fight, but were spectators around the fight, and we would want them to have a certain mindset, attitude toward these kinds of things that shows a level of empathy, shows a level of conscientiousness, of maturity in that kind of way. And so you use these kind of occasions and for that kind of lesson. So I was using the example of when I was in Atlanta and a man hurled racial slurs at the students that I had there, and a white man came to their defense. And I was talking to the students and saying to the students, on the one hand, yes, a white man hurled racial slurs at you, but yet, at the same time, a white man came to you. You've got to then take into context what has happened to you, so that you don't generalize this experience across all peoples and all colors and so forth and so forth. And so in a similar fashion, I'm saying that this incident needs to be part of a collective, I think, a collective set of meetings, consultations, and if you could get the parents involved, get the parents involved as well, because sometimes we are in our attitudes a reflection of the environments we are being nurtured in, and it's not to suggest that you are evil or wicked or something. It's just what you know and what you believe to be normal behavior, appropriate behavior, okay behavior. And so it's unfortunate, and I really hope that we can take the situation and do with it enough to help maybe some of the students walk away with a different, better mindset toward life. It was really something. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, what's up, brother Lang?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
Everything good, man, by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to find out. I need you to give me some, not only me, I believe, plenty other people would like to know too. But concerning this thing about the American embassy, right, where they put something in the paper concerning the Constitution, the rights of women and all them things, right? I trying to figure out, is they trying to tell the government they need to change that, or what they trying to do concerning what they saying in the papers? Hello?
Honestly, I have not seen anything from the U.S. Embassy in the paper. I haven't drawn my attention to that matter yet.
Okay.
But if I get a chance, I will. Okay.
Okay. Now another thing.
Because I do want to speak to this issue of marital rape.
Right. Now concerning that, there. Right. I mean, I ain't got a problem with that, but I think what they anyhow, when you get your information, you got let us know what you think about what. Because I trying to figure out, they is just embassies. They could question the way I know.
But it's not the embassy per se, is it? It's the U.S. Department of State. They do a human rights report on the Bahamas and countries every year. All countries, they do a human rights report on. This is a standard part of their practice, right? And what they are saying is there's extensive gender-based violence in this country. It's a big issue. Do you think that there is an extensive gender-based violence? Do you think that there is a lot of women who are subjected to violence, for instance, or men in this country?
I don't. I will wait till you get the full thing up to say what you say, because to me, I don't see it.
Okay, and then they say there's a lack of protection for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, and intersex individuals. If they mean legal protections, there aren't specific laws addressing those people in this country. Is that not true?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm saying they are saying that that's their observation. So they are not being untruthful, right?
Right, exactly. But Elaine, concerning what they trying to do, they even talk about the abortion thing. I don't know if they trying to use.
I think I don't even have to. I just was scanning the report, but I don't have to really even scan the article to say this much, right? Mm-hmm. You are a country. Right. They are a country. Mm-hmm. They have points of view. They have perspectives. You have points of view, your perspectives.
Right.
They do reports on you, and they say what they believe. Mm-hmm. That's fair, fine. That's their right. If you want to, why don't you do a report on them? And I don't mean you. I mean the Bahamas, right?
You can do a report on them
that says, oh, here's a country that's too liberal when it comes to LGBTQT or to this or to that. And you can do your own report. That's not a problem.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
I think what we should do in the Bahamas now is if we want people to take us seriously, let's start acting like adults, right? And so this is what I mean. People have a right to see you, observe you, say about you whatever they wish.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a right to do the same thing to them.
Right, exactly. Because they have an opinion concerning you, so you should have an opinion concerning them.
If you want to.
Right. And another thing, right, I don't know if this has happened, because you was in the cabinet before. You pass a bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you pass a bill.
Mm-hmm.
When you pass the bill,
mm-hmm.
does anybody have the rights to say, because of the bill you passed, you didn't came to us and get our advice or our opinion concerning the bill? Is that
they have a right to say that? They do have a right to say that. They do have a right to say that. They have a right to say, well, there is no law requiring Parliament or the government to consult with anybody prior to passing a bill. There's no law. There's no rule that requires it, right? If you do it, you do that because you think it's good practice or you think it's a good courtesy. So there's no law. But if I, as a citizen, or we, as a group of citizens, think it would have been good for you to consult with us prior to passing that law, since it affects us, then I can say that. I could say you didn't do so, you didn't consult us, and I have a right to say that.
So, okay, I would agree with you to a certain extent for how you said it, right? But let me ask you something. I listened to the Christian Council president.
Right.
It's like, what the government did when they gone and do that bill, it like was they disrespected them.
They did which bill?
For
how you
worded
it.
The anti-crime bill. The anti-gang crime bill. That bill.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Now, I trying to figure this out, Brother Lang. You is a man of God. I's a man of God. We know the word. And the Bible tells us, say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God, right? And then God also say, we are to obey the law of the land. So if the law of the land is given by the law makers of the land, why yes. you question what they doing and know what they doing something of us?
Well, here's the problem, right? And I agree with you 100%. 100% that, you know, again, out of courtesy, out of good practice, you might consult the Christian Council.
Right.
And what are you? But let me tell you where the Christian Council gets this idea, it seems, that they need and should be consulted, right? It comes from the politicians who defer to them on too many matters related to their conduct. So, for instance, on gambling, on marital rape, why do you think the government of the Bahamas is unwilling to pass a marital rape law? Because there is deference being shown to the religious, a swath of the religious community, because it's not the entire Christian community that believes in the perspective and approach that the government or the Christian Council has. But that, so what happens is politicians, their knees buckle in the face of the Christian Council on some issues, not because they fear the Christian Council, but they fear the politics of what the Christian Council's opinion or view or influence could do. So why then, if you show me that that is how you are, should I not then now believe you ought to consult me on any matter? You've demonstrated to me you ain't gonna do nothing about this gambling, or you ain't gonna do nothing about that thing until I say it's okay. Let me, bro, let you talk before I, because you already made me broach the issue, so let me let you say anything else you have to say before I go on.
No, that's it, man.
Okay. Yeah. Stay listening then.
I can finish doing it.
Okay.
Okay, bro.
Okay. So I wanted to broach this issue of the marital rape law. First, from the point of view of this, it is an excellent example of power dynamics play in the country in respect. And I say power dynamics in politics. Power dynamics is everything. In relationships, power dynamics is a lot, okay? Power dynamics says it is about how much influence I have relative to you, you have relative to me. Now, there are multiple groups and segments in our societies all seeking to exert influence. The biggest power base in the country is the block of voters, but they do not get to exert their power until election time. So it is only through the threat of the use of their power in between elections that they get to have some play in the power dynamics in this country. Do you all want me to say that slowly? You want me to say it slowly? Okay. The biggest, most powerful block of people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the block of voters, they're the most powerful. But they do not get to exert that power directly except at election time. In between elections, the only thing they can do is exert influence through the threat of their vote at election time. Now, the problem with that powerful bloc is that they are not a single unit. As it now stands, they divide themselves, FNM and PLP for the most part, another bloc for the DNA, another bloc for the CRI, and then the other people who scatter themselves calling themselves all kinds of things. So as a collective, their threat is diffused in between elections because their interest is divided severally. So they, while they are the most powerful bloc in nations, they don't get to exert the kind of power that they might otherwise get to exert because they are so divided as a group. The Christian Council is another group, but in a very real way, they are more united on some issues than the voting population are. Depending on their Pentecostalism or evangelicalism, they can be very firmly against homosexuality and all the other lifestyle choices around sexuality, abortion, and these kinds of things. They're very concretely united around some issues. There are those who are not united with them, but they are very mostly united on those issues. Marital rape, there's a solid block of them united around issue, rooted in some biblical perspectives and knowledge they claim to have that compels them to adopt and embrace that issue. So when you look at the power dynamics involved with modern rape, it's very interesting. Let me give you an example of why I say that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
For the best of the best, Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion and Guardians the Best of the Best Raking Script Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breezes Grounds Ignite with Bahamian Talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
They know if you like raining.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Bill V. Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Ramis, CBS and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian News. Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So talking about the power dynamics involved with politics of some issues in the country, in particular now we're talking about marital rape, right? And why it's so stubbornly difficult for the government to move on it. The Prime Minister now says, I think the late Obadiah Wilchcombe was seeking to move on it, and he said that they were still consulting on the matter. It sounds now, from the Prime Minister's point of view, well, this wasn't in our blueprint for change, and so that's what I'm focused on, because that's what we promised the Bahamian people. So I want to show you something about power dynamics now, because the truth is, dealing with Grand Bahama Port Authority isn't in the blueprint for change either. I went and checked. It's not in there. Nothing is in there about doing anything about the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Nothing. But the government is moving on that. So everything that the government is doing, and there are other examples, doesn't have to be in the blueprint for change. We know that to be so, right? Governments decide and determine beyond what they promise to do, they do things, right? There was a Junkanoo Carnival created under the Christie administration. That wasn't in the blueprint for change. The governments do it sometimes where they, as time goes on and developments happen, they decide on things. But let me show you something. The government of the Bahamas has an entity like the Grand Bahama Port Authority, a huge and massive investor in our country, who has a legal arrangement with the government. And the government is taking them on fiercely. I mean, listen to the government's words, that the government stands against them. But on marital rape, listen to me now. Port Authority is a secular entity that has a municipal responsibility for a city it created. It is maintaining, better than any place else in the Bahamas, this city, right? It has development, investments taking place in this city. It's not the greatest entity in the world. It's got lots of faults, right? But it's doing that. Women in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, half of the population of the Bahamas are females. Half of the voters about in the Bahamas, females, are women. Women, many women, not all women, but many women in the Bahamas are saying, this is a sensible, progressive thing to do in passing a law that permits a married woman to say, if she is raped, that I've been raped by my husband. And we could think of a million circumstances under which that could be a cruel and terrible situation for a woman. Or for a man to say, I've been raped by my wife. And we could think of circumstances under which that too may be possible. That spousal marital rape is possible. That's what they're asking for. And they're not saying, oh, make a law such that if I tell you that I have been raped by my husband, it means that I have been raped. They say, give me the right, as any woman has a right, in any circumstance where she is forced to have sexual relations with someone, or any man give me the right to go to the police and say I have been raped, and they then do their investigation just like in any other case. And if they say there's no evidence, I can't do anything else. I put my complaint forward just like any other situation, and there was insufficient evidence, and then nothing else happens. So no, they're not asking for any breaking ground here outside of give me the same right any other woman has in any other situation of forced sexual relations or man to say, I have been raped. But those women, with all the votes they got and all the influence they are, and with all the backbone they are of all the political parties in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, these are women who represent our mothers and our sisters and our daughters and our aunts. They can't get the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to move on this issue. Why? Because the power dynamics on that front is squarely in the religious community's hand. The port don't have no power dynamics that could save them. None. Straw vendors are more powerful in the Bahamas politically. Taxi drivers are more powerful politically than the port authority. It just is a question of power dynamics. That's just how it goes. The women on this marital issue are not more powerful than is the Christian Council. And there's only one reason why women are not. You are not more powerful, women, than the Christian Council on this issue of marital rape. You are not. Because if you were powerful enough, that bill would be passed tomorrow. Tomorrow it would be passed. Let me tell you all something. In this Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I am saying that the population of the Bahamas, and I couldn't care less if the FNM, PLP, COI, DNA, or whoever was in power. Going forward in the Bahamas, in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, it is important for you as voters and citizens to understand the concept of power dynamics. It is not complicated. It just requires observation and thought. And you'll be able to figure out why many things happen or don't happen in the way of government action, no matter who the administration is. So this is not about the Davis administration, because let me give an example. The Ingram administration had the Freedom of Information Act as one of its promises, dragged its feet on it, you know, never brought it into force. The Minnesota administration dragged his feet on it, brought it into force, but never brought it into operation. The Davis administration, the Christie administration, same thing, same Christie administration. The Davis administration now dragging its feet on it. Same thing. Why? The power dynamics in that is not with you, the voter. It's not. Where's the power dynamics in that situation? It's with the politician. That's where it is. Politician's interest overrides your interest in respect of freedom of information in that power dynamic. It's the reality of it. If you see a government, if you see an administration doing anything, any administration doing anything, all you have to do is ask yourself the question. Whose interest is most served by this? If you can then locate that, you can predict fairly accurately what a government would do. So here is, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Hey, Antoine. Boy, Antoine, I talk in cryptic or I talk in straight?
Straight talk, but like, yeah, why? You know, funny thing about why you're talking straight talk to some people, you're talking cryptic. So it depends on who you're talking to.
I imagine so.
But like, yeah, Like, yeah, I just want to highlight maybe three very, very quick points, Chivago. Let me be the devil's advocate for one second.
Oh, here's the problem, though, Anton. You know, we got 1 minute before the news break.
Okay, I'll try and go quickly because I don't want to go in the next. What's the likelihood that if a marital rape law was passed in the Bahamas, criminalizing marital rape, what do you suspect simultaneously the likelihood would be of passing a law criminalizing withholding sex from your spouse in the Bahamas?
I don't think that law would come anytime soon.
because Tobago, if you have, and I'm certain just based on this in life, on talk shows, et cetera, right? I'm certain if you conduct an analysis, you would find that there are many, many, many households that are lacking, not because the ability doesn't exist to engage, but because it's being deliberately withheld, which is something
maybe so, but nobody would regard withholding though as an abuse. In terms of physical abuse, though, you might regard it as emotional abuse, and you can, on that basis, go to the courts. You know,
mental abuse. It's grounds for divorce.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying at least the law covers you in that circumstance. If you are forced to have sex with your spouse, you don't have no law to cover you.
Well, if you could prove it, definitely.
No. You can't. Even if you could prove it, you cannot rape your spouse. Because the definition of rape does not include a spouse.
You could physically abuse your spouse.
No, that's physical abuse is different. I don't have to physically abuse you to hold you down and have sex with you.
That would be a part of physically raping someone, Shabali.
No, sir. Many people have been raped without any markings or anything left. And the only thing you could do is maybe if the seminal fluid was left, you could use that as a ground and so forth and so forth. But many people have been raped with no physical signs outside of them having said, I was raped.
I understand that perspective. I certainly do. I certainly do, Shabako. But nonetheless, just looking at the laws that you utter when you go before man and God and the priest, if there's a priest present, or the conductor of the ceremony, whoever that may be, those laws are God's laws.
We gotta go to break, and we could talk after if you want. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We take a break from news. We'll be back after the news.
Come take my hand. Come take my hand. Walk this road through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope you are well. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, Anton began to give it would prepare an argument for the complications around the issue of marital rape and so forth, right? And so here's the thing. Can any one of you tell me what is the argument that the government has presented for not proceeding the marital rape law. One argument I heard was, we are still consulting. Okay, that's a good argument. If you're still consulting, you're still consulting. The only other argument I've heard is the prime minister saying, well, you know, it's not in the blueprint for change, and so therefore it's not my priority. We are going with the things we promised to the people. Now, so those are not arguments, though, dealing with the substance of the issue of marital rape. As in, is there a moral objection the government has based on even the church's moral objection or the society's moral objection? Is there a technical scheme, et cetera? I'm not aware of any such policy arguments being presented. As it stands now, it seems as if most of this is about, I don't think I can get the people who I would like to go along to go along with this. And so therefore, it continues to be in limbo in that way. Prime Minister of the country, Prime Minister Davis, said, rape is rape. That's what he said. He said that some months ago, rape is rape. And so I took that to mean you rape somebody in your marriage, you rape somebody outside your marriage, you rape somebody. Except the law does not acknowledge the rape within the context of marriage, and therefore there's nothing that the individual can do. I heard somebody telling Dwight, this morning, oh, the law, if you look at the Sexual Offenses Act, yes, there is, blah, blah, blah. It's not if you are, unless you are separated. You have to be separated. What the woman is saying is, no, me and him live together. Or the man is saying, me and her live together. And I told her, no, and I told him, no. And still, she forced me to do this, force me to do that. That's what they're talking about. So don't let's find the pretty situations that we think could clearly help us to try and justify anything. Talking about, does a man have the right to say, even to his wife, no? Or a woman have the right to say no? Now, let me help you all. Let me help some of your religious people with something. Okay, because I know how you go. The Bible said a woman should not withhold her body from her spouse, and vice versa. You hear the operative word is shouldn't. The Bible also say, me and you shouldn't lie, shouldn't steal, adultery. Does it not? Shouldn't be swift to spread the shed innocent blood. Shouldn't be swift to go sow discord among the brethren. Shouldn't be swift to go and eat too much food. The Bible also says that we shouldn't not assemble ourselves with the brethren. The Bible says many things we ought not to do. And we go ahead and do them. But on this issue, we now invoke the Bible. First of all, let me tell you something, right? If the laws of the Bahamas was going on the grounds of the Bible, homosexuality would be unlawful in the Bahamas, and so would many other sexual lifestyles. Adultery would be unlawful in the Bahamas. Fornication would be unlawful in the Bahamas. Lying, lying in every instance would be unlawful in the Bahamas, but it's not. They are not. Okay, so let's not try and pretend that our laws, our secular laws, the state laws, are biblical and moral principles. They are not. They are not given for moral reasons. Right? They are not. They're given to keep the state, the society, in a civil and ordered fashion. If they were moral, you would not be able to worship Satan in the Bahamas. And if somebody catches you and does something to you, you could take them to court and say, these people are trying to stop me from exercising my freedom of worship. All right? I don't know how to tell Christian people that. The state laws and the laws that we have may have had some rootedness in the Ten Commandments, may have had some rootedness in religiosity, but that is not the predicate. That is not the basis on which they are now issued. Right? Gambling was a long time not permitted lawfully in the Bahamas because we said it was for religious reasons, but we got gambling now on the books. Homosexuality was illegal in the Bahamas up to 1993. It's legal now. And we made it legal in the same Christian country. So let's don't, y'all stop conflating. Let's stop conflating these Christian values and religious values with what the state is doing. Because I assure you, the passing of these laws and what have you, the government ain't trying to advance the kingdom of God and passing them. It's not. It's trying to create a state that we could function in. The advancement of the kingdom of God belongs to the people of God. This text is, Mr. Lang, that marital rape bill is a tough one. I, for one, don't think that will ever be passed. Not only is it affect most men of the cloth and politicians in the long run, it is unbiblical. Who says marital rape is unbiblical? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello, that's me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Lang, let me give you a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If your wife and you have sex, right? But she murdered you, and she wants to say, she say you rape her. What evidence does the police could get to say you didn't rape her?
Well, it doesn't matter what evidence they could get. The point is, if she accuses me of something, then there has to be evidence to support her accusation. If there's no evidence to support her accusation, then her accusation falls away.
But the problem is, you all did have sex.
But you are not hearing me. So the problem is, she says I raped her, right? That's what she says, I raped her. When the way the law works is, he who asserts must prove. That's the law. If you assert, you have to prove. So I'm saying,
that's the issue.
No, because the presence of semen in your vagina is not proof that you were raped.
That's the point I'm making, Mr. Lang. Because it's a fact that you had sex. It was consensual according to you. But she has to right say no. So if she gives it based on duress, threats, she gave it now. That's still rape. So you wouldn't see the abuse, the physical.
But bro, back down for a minute, okay? Forget the wife. If a woman says a man raped her, the person carries that man, she goes to the police, and the police says, okay, let me investigate this. Just because they had sex doesn't mean that the police then says, oh, yeah, because she says she was raped, I therefore believe she's raped. The police has to look for corroborating things that reflect evidence of rape. Okay, so I don't want anybody to call my show with simplistic notions about how this is supposed to work when rape ain't no new scenario under the law in the Bahamas.
It will be a new one because it's only what she said. And then the problem is this.
Listen. Every rape is about what someone says.
Someone was to carry you somewhere, or when you have mitigating circumstances to substantiate a claim. But inside the home where we are living together, under homie according to what everybody see now. So she just is scared for whatever reason. I may stay late one night. Or okay, she believe so I was seeing somebody else.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Since you're, it's a problem. Let me ask you a question. A 14-year-old boy watches his father hold down his mother when she says, I do not want to have sex with your drunken backside tonight. And this boy watches that. And he gets one of them who gets to say, yes, I saw my father hold down my mother and he was drunk and he held her down and had sex with her. Right now, can she go to the police and claim she was raped?
I don't know why it's so important for the punishment to be based on just the definition of rape. If there's
thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Thank you, appreciate it. Y'all see what happened just now? Anybody see what happened just now? Y'all see that this gentleman, because now I gave him a scenario which represented a clear instance in which there was evidence beyond merely the mother saying so, that there was a rape. He now goes on to something else. You know why? Because this is about sometimes our personal, deeply felt personal convictions about something that nothing can override. And I understand that. That's why when I detect that in you, I ain't trying to go to have no more arguments with you because I understand where you are. Right? We have another call on the line. Go ahead. All of you listening to you.
Yeah, I'm back with you, Shivago.
And
very interesting exchange just now.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, but you know, because rape can sometimes be a matter where there is no physical evidence to support the claim. I think that is where, in an instance where there isn't even a witness, as you would have brought to the last caller in the exchange, in an instance
Anton, this is not new though. I mean, you could have, forget marriage for the moment. A woman could claim to have been raped, and there is no evidence right now today.
I understand.
So this isn't new. This isn't setting any new ground. The only new ground here is allowing a woman in the context of a marriage to say that I have been raped. Because in fact, she could have been raped. We have to acknowledge that outside of a marriage, a woman can falsely accuse a man of rape. It has been done multiple times.
Absolutely.
Okay, inside of a marriage, why is it so surprising and shocking if it could happen in a marriage? But it is also true that a woman outside of a marriage could be raped. But why is it shocking that a woman inside a marriage could be raped?
Boy, Shivago, this marital rape situation would break down so much barriers. I mean, it's already breaking down
Break down what barriers? You know how many countries in the world have marital rape laws?
I understand that. It's already breaking down a lot of laws as it relates to what you go before God and man.
But Anton, let me tell you, I was going to tell you this when you made that mention of that fact. Let's don't kid ourselves on this go before God and then this thing. Now, let's don't do that. Let me explain something to you. When you and I decided to get married, we went and decided it. We even didn't ask God. We just decided we won't get married, right?
We didn't ask the law.
We went then to the church and asked the church to marry us, right? We went to the church.
And the church asked the church to go to the court, right?
No. But the only reason you didn't have to do that, you don't have to do that.
Mm.
You don't have to get a marriage license.
Right.
You don't have to. If you want to be legally recognized.
I understand.
Under the law, you can get a marriage license. You could stay together with somebody for a long time and become common law wedded.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's conflate the two now. Let me tell you why I'm trying to say this, Anton. Because guess what? When we get divorced, we don't go back to God. We don't go back to the church.
and we should strictly go to the courts.
You should have some level of support, biblically in there to even
Antoine, let's be real, man.
I'm not saying what the reality is on the ground, you know, Chicago. I'm saying you should.
But we ain't talking about share the cutter now. We're talking about what happens.
Now, where I want to draw the or split the hair with what you were saying and my perspective, right? Because I understand all of what you said. Where I want to split the hair, that that the laws should be very strict, with no straying, with no possibility of straying away from, for those who would have walked the full line, the full gamut of what is required, not only by God in marriage, but subjecting yourself to going through the practicality of the training that is provided by the church or by the responsible member in that church.
But that's a different matter, though, Anton. That's a different matter.
Than for those who just go to a marriage, a licensed marriage.
But we're talking about something different now. We're talking about something different. So I don't want us to get distraught. So let me ask you a question. If a man says, I want to have sex with you, a woman, or another man, or a person, right? And they say no. And they do what is necessary without physically cutting somebody, but they have the sex with the person. Is that rape? Anton Gourney. Let me read this text. It says, great point, moral versus societal law. Good afternoon. Furthermore, as Jesus showed, it is hypocritical and incongruent to use the rule of one situation and not and its basis in another instance. Example, homosexuality and marital rape. Unfortunately, we are not as Christian as a nation as we think. So I agree. Since there would be an obvious dichotomy, societal rules are different more than moral rules. They are. They are entirely different. Their basis is different. They're very different. That's the reason. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day. First time caller.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
No is no.
Yes, ma'am.
But there is a separation with marital rape versus somebody who's raped outside of a relationship. Now, I've been married for 22 years. Pardon me?
No, I was just asking, what is the difference here? So.
Well, I'm going to describe now. I've been married for 22 years. When I went to the altar with my husband, I understood my obligation as a wife. And I knew one of those things was that we were going to be intimate with each other. Now, I understand, too, why the government may be standoffish. We think if a woman is married and she has to say that her husband raped her, that is, I would deem that relationship a dysfunctional relationship and that something else is going on in that relationship other than just you saying that he raped me. I would probably say that behind the scenes, other things are going on in that marriage. If I have to say that my husband forces himself on me after I say no, something else is going on there.
Well, you said you've been married for 22 years, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you not conceive that a person, okay, in this instance, let me use a woman, could really love a man? I mean, really love him, right? But this gentleman has begin to act in ways and do things that causes her immense concern. But she loves him. So she's not trying to destroy her marriage, but she loves him. But she knows that she's putting herself at risk because of what she's about and he's doing.
Okay, and so in a situation like that, then you need to make a decision.
I'm sorry though. We can't be so simplistic like that, because you could say that to a woman, a young girl too. You needed to have made a decision and you needed to have walked out the car, leave the party, etc. Sometimes people constrain you and make it difficult for you to do some things. And you are saying to me then that because you don't make that decision, you don't get to be able to say this man forced himself on me? That's all that. That's all the. That's all the women who are asking for this are saying. I want the law to be able to acknowledge that I was in fact raped, and I have to prove that. It still has to be proven.
Yes, I guess you're right. It's probably easy for me to say what I'm saying because I'm not in that predicament, and I'm not. I've never experienced having to say that my husband forced himself on me or he raped me. But if he's doing things that has you concerned or refraining from giving him a part of you, which of course is anticipated in a marriage, then of course I'm going to think that you need to make a decision as to whether or not this marriage is either healthy to be in anymore or if it's better for me to move on and to go and live the life that he wants to go and live.
Because let me give you an example of something I know. Okay, something I know. So you decided, okay, enough of this. I'm out of here. And when you threatened to leave, on the time when you were trying to walk out, you get held down. You get held down and forced to have sex because you are mine. This is the word. You are mine. Who's my wife? So she's doing what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But she has been held down and forced to have sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, what does she do? She can't go to the court, the police, and say I was raped. He didn't punch me. He didn't strike me. He didn't jerk me. Nothing like that. Just held me down because he's stronger than me. And most instances, that's the only reason why men get away with this is because they're stronger than the woman. You let these women to be stronger than man. We wouldn't need no marital rape law.
That is true. That is true.
So this isn't even about sex, you know. This is about power. It's about
any
power.
Woman
it's
in
not
this
about
situation,
sex.
What do you do then when, I'll ask this question too, what do you do then in this situation if you do go and say that my husband raped me, to me, my marriage is over. It's done. There's no turning back from that. Because if I have to get the law or the police involved to say that my husband violated me, my marriage is over. So isn't it the same thing as you finding your strength to get out before it gets too crazy?
No, but you're looking for an ideal situation, right? And all I'm saying to you is there are situations which are not ideal. And so in those non-ideal situations, what is a woman to do? Okay, she didn't find the strength. She wasn't able to get out. But even if a woman is bald naked in front of a man, bald naked in front of a man, forget outside of marriage, bald naked in front of a man, and he says, I will have sex with you, and she says, no, she could be bald naked. He cannot go to court and claim, well, I raped her because she was bald naked. But you could say she should not have put herself in. The fact of the matter is the law don't care. He cannot take her body. If she says no, and a married woman cannot do that, we are saying.
It's a lot of factors to consider here, Mr. Lang. It's a lot of factors to consider. And I sympathize with the women who find themselves in these situations. I sympathize with you, but I think at the end of the day, in a way, there's a decision that needs to be made on both sides.
We're past that. Let me ask you a question. I just want to ask you this question. You said you went to the altar 22 years ago. You knew and understood what your obligation was. Are you suggesting to me that whether you want to or not, maybe it's that time of the month for you or something. If your husband says, I want to, you are not able to say no? That's what you're saying.
I'm able to say no. Let me speak for me. I've been there. My husband has asked. I've said no. Give me another day or two. Being realistic, he's understanding, but I have a different type of husband. Everyone has a husband like mine.
That's a point, but that's the point. But that's the point. But, so what if you did not?
My expectation is that I would
But listen. If you are you a Christian?
I am.
Okay, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the law is not made for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. So we don't make laws for decent men like your husband. We make laws for indecent men and women.
True.
That's why the law exists. The law is there to show somebody when you have crossed the boundary. But you don't have to show a righteous person the crossing of a boundary, because out of love, they, with good faith.
Okay, Mr. Lang. So if you're in that, in a situation where you're being abused by a woman or a wife, and you go to the police on your wife or your girl, whomever, what happens after you go to the law on that person? Let's just say it is a spouse. Would you still live under the same roof with that person?
In an unreal world, do you know how many women, men have had their husbands, wives commit multiple adulteries and all that kind of stuff on them, and they still find a way to reconcile after the fact? So many terrible things have happened in marriages and relationships, and they have still been able to reconcile. Sometimes they decide to go their separate ways, and that is all possible. It depends on the people. But what is necessary under the law, we are not talking about under the Bible, we're talking about under the secular state. What is necessary is for people to be able to say to the law, I have been breached. And I would like some coverage. I would like some attendance to my matter. And a woman is, and this is what is the, faces women in the Bahamas today, that they could be under the same circumstances, the same kind of sexual abuse circumstances, and the only difference one gets to say is, I have a certificate from the state, and the other one says, I don't have a certificate from the state. And one gets more coverage from the law, and one gets less.
True.
And we think that that is sensible.
To be considered, Mr. Lang, and I sympathize with women that find themselves in this type of situation, and then eventually I hope it all goes in the favor of those who are fighting towards having this rectified.
Can I tell you one thing before you leave? I think there are lots of things to consider, but I really believe that for the believer, this is a very simple matter. The Bible tells us that, behold, I stand it at the door knocking. If you open up, I will come in. Do you know what that means? That means the Savior of the universe does not push the door down to save you.
That's true.
Does not tear the door down. The Almighty God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as wool. He doesn't say, come here, let me drag you here so you could worship me. So if God will not force himself on us, what right have we to force ourselves on other people?
That's a great point. And that is something that you're preaching, really. That is such a great point.
It is the thing that settles the matter of any abuse to me. Is anytime something is forced, it breaches the character of God.
So true, Mr. Lang. So true.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank you for my call.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I
see. She hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC, be there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. We have callers on the line, so I want to take them. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Shabaka. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. This is your friend from Freeport calling to thank you so much. I am could not be prouder of you today for sticking up for us and for speaking on behalf of so many women who are too terrified to call and express how devastated they are and what happens to them and their families and in their relationships. And it's just amazing to hear you. You understand that, you know, these are, that religion is a big part of this, and I get it, but these women are devastated. Nobody wants to turn their husband in for rape. Nobody wants anything that, like that to happen, but it does happen, and these women need to be protected. And for men to just call in and just push it aside like we're cattle and we're nothing is devastating. So I thank you so much for defending us today and for making people hopefully see that, you know, this is a touchy subject, I get it, but that we're men in our community to support us and to stop bashing us. And it's wonderful to hear you do that today. Your wife is a very lucky, lucky lady. I've always known that, but just, please continue to do that. You know, we're devastated that this keeps getting passed on and the laws aren't changing. We have such a modern society, but yet we can't seem to give 50% of our country the same equal rights and to be treated properly. It's devastating. And you only had to listen to the news that came on the Guardian Radio today about how poor, you know, how our young women are treated and they're molested in the home. And you know, if you can't stop marital rape in the home, you're not going to stop this abuse in the rest of our country. Our women are so important to us, but you can't treat us like we're dirt and then expect us to go back into the family and be fine. We're the people that bring your children to life. We're the people that make the world go around, you know, and to treat us and for someone just to say, well, it said that in the Bible. I mean, the Bible is a beautiful book, but it's there to guide you. It's not every line isn't perfect. And for so many horrible men to call in and just women that are calling in and supporting this. And I'm so proud of you today, Shabaka. So, so proud.
Thank you. I don't know how lucky my wife would think she is, but, you know, I'm spreading the word.
It means so much to us because so many men just don't do it. And it's so easy just to say they're using it as an excuse to, you know, rape is this terrifying thing for so many people, well, for everybody, yeah. But I mean, for men to just dismiss it, you know, it's devastating. It changes people's lives. Some people don't ever get over it. And, you know, yeah. But people don't, you have to go through so much to prove it. And they don't use it. And then they make it sound like women just use this as abuse to come up with something to get out of a marriage. People don't want to get out of marriages. They want to stay in them. So it's devastating when they just trash it like that.
Yep. I appreciate you calling. Really do. Appreciate you
calling. Thank you. I so appreciate you today. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have no one has put a biblical perspective on marital rape to me that I have found sensible. No one ever has done so. So I don't think anyone can use the Bible to try and justify marital rape. No one. It's the spirit and attitude of Jesus Christ, and God is not like that. You know, I just quoted that scripture for somebody. I said, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in him." Now, this is a part of it that people miss. "And I will sup with him." Listen to the balance of it now. "And he with me." So you could go and sit to dinner with somebody and who don't want to be there. But the best situation is where you sit in the dinner with somebody who wants to be there and who wants you to be there. And guess why it's possible for both of them to sup with each other? Because he opened the door. He opened the door at the invitation of the knock. It is a clear indication that this is the way God wants relationships to be. Sup with me and me with you because you opened the door at my invitation, not because you forced yourself in and gone. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Trivago. This is Lisa Bostwick-Dean calling.
Hey, yes, how are you?
I'm great. I'm God. Thank you for championing this cause. It's not an easy thing to speak up on because it is a divisive subject in our community, unfortunately. Sure. I have to give a caveat before I speak. My phone battery is dying, and so I'm going to run through some points quickly in case you lose me. A couple of callers back, you had a long conversation with her, and she kept saying words to the effect that if there was a rape in the marriage, then it means the marriage is over, because she understood when she said her vows 22 years ago that she had certain duties in that marriage with which she had to comply. All of that is something to comment on, because both parties have a duty in the marriage. He also has a duty, as does she, not to do harm to her, not to hurt her, to respect her. And furthermore, there's also the question that I wish I could have asked her was, well, if this was such a signal, i.e., the fact that he raped her was such a signal in the marriage, she would put it, she had her duty, I guess, to allow him to have conjugal rights to have sex with her, then would it not have been as much a signal to him when she said no? Why didn't he approach the court for divorce at that time to say, she is denying me my conjugal rights, and therefore I'm entitled to divorce her on the ground of cruelty? Why does he must then rape her for her to realize, oh, there's something wrong in the marriage? There's obligation on both sides here, and so it should never come to rape in order to exercise the rights. There is a consensual right in this. The other thing is, rape is rape between husband, wife, man, woman, man, child, by whatever designation, man, man, woman, woman. When you don't give consent, it's rape. So the only thing that needs to be removed from the laws is the thing, who is not his spouse. But rape is already defined in the act. The other thing I'd like to say is very concerning is that this act has been amended in draft form. There has been extensive consultation on it. There has been town hall meetings. There has been meetings with significant groups. There's been meetings with the church. There's been, I mean, in one meeting I sat in, I was, myself and others, we were called demons and from the pit of hell because we were making this argument by various pastor members. So we've been even brought together in rooms together to debate this subject. And the amendments have been made and circulated and debated. My question is, why is there a pullback at this time? Certainly,
I answered that in the first half of the show.
I don't.
I said I answered that. No, the power dynamics is not today with the women.
You know,
it's with the church. It's with the church. It's with the Christian Council.
Yeah, but there have been significant denominations in the church that have come out in support of the bill. So when we say the church, let's be careful here. Because the
I was very careful. But I was very careful to use the words I wanted to use. The Christian Council has a political standing different from, separate and apart from, denominational churches.
You know, again, what I would say is I understand what you're saying about the Christian Council, but I believe that even some members of that council began to waver on this point. So I'm not sure whose voices are being raised in dissent the other way. Of course there are dissenters, but not everybody in that council dissents. There's also, and I forgot to name also, Pastor Terrence Morrison of the Baptist Church, Zion Baptist, has spoken out on this. But there are any number of men on this subject, and I understand that you're distinguishing that from the Christian Council.
You do agree that if a government, if an administration, if a political grouping is not doing something, there is a reason, a political reason for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Most often. But let me say this to you. Political organizations have done things which the masses have voted against before, have swallowed that pill and have moved on. Let's talk the gambling referendum. So we can do it when it comes to something like gambling. We will probably do it when it comes to something like legalizing marijuana, but we cannot do it when it comes to the abuse of our women.
Because the political dynamics rested and vested with a special group of moneyed individuals on the gambling front.
And that may be 100% correct, and how sad a statement that is. So we're prepared to allow our women to get used and abused, but we'll sell our souls for a dollar. That's what you're saying. Well, the people voted no in a gambling referendum, but I mean, I'm passing words here. But the politicians said yes for the dollar. That's what that amounts to. But in any event, the other thing which I want to really say loudly and clearly before my phone goes, because I think men need to hear this, and they don't hear it often enough from women. We are up of the possibility of false reports. First of all, that threat or possibility exists with any crime. Anybody can make a false report against anybody else for any crime. So that's not singular unto rape, you know? So so we have to deal with that across the board. But as it relates to rape, as a woman, I would say this. If a woman is found to have made a false allegation of rape, we need to amend our laws so that there are extreme penalties for any such false report. Those types of allegations destroy a person's reputation and their standing in the community. And yes, we do have criminal defamation on the book, but we need to go further where somebody makes a false report of rape. Because it doesn't only hurt that man who is accused, but it hurts every woman who is raped, every child who is raped, every child who is abused, because of reasons just like this. And because we have
the children of the men who may have to face friends and neighbors saying,
like I said, it hurts. I believe, with respect to the organization I'm a part of, Women's United, we have made that clear in various interviews that we condemn as strongly as we do the act those who would make a false report. And we believe that the amendment should take that into account as well. So,
I appreciate those perspectives. Very, very helpful and very considered perspectives. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Shivago, and thank you for what you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you.
We're not going to stop. This is not the only cause that we fight for, but I thank the Fifth Estate. I think the Fifth Estate is deliberately keeping these items hot because we fall a little silent, and we can see what happens when we take the pressure off. When we take our foot off the gas, then the political will falters. So any woman that's listening, not just with respect to marital rape, but with respect to all these matters that concern us, the molestation of our children, the abuse of our children, the violence in society, all of these issues, we need to put our foot back on the gas. Put our foot on the gas. Let them feel us.
Please give my regards to your wonderful mother and father.
I certainly shall. God bless you.
And you too, Doc. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, I got a lot of text. So let me see if I can get some. Do we have another call on the line?
Hi, good afternoon, Chicago. This is Noelle.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I certainly didn't want to rob you of your opportunity to speak. Go right ahead.
I just really wanted to be a part of oftentimes this particular discussion. We have so many callers who are opposed to the amendment, and I was heartened with this, your strong advocacy, and really wanted to just come and pile on, so to speak, in support of the amendment. What really frustrates me, particularly the arguments that are around marriage and breaking up the family and even the commitment to marriage, is that when you get married, you do not commit to being violated and having violence perpetuated against you. The amendment to the definition of rape is about ensuring that the violence that's perpetuated to any woman is an offense. And the argument that the remedy for rape is divorce, I don't understand why we have to wait to allow a husband or spouse to rape their spouse, and then they can seek a remedy. The act itself, the act of violence, needs to be an offense. And the amendment that the advocates and that the government has drafted to create a spousal rape act is to amend the definition of rape so that that definition doesn't create an exclusion, an exception for persons who are married. And it's to ensure that the definition of a crime of violence is properly defined, and that there is remedy for persons who are abused in this way. And I find it very disheartening, for the Prime Minister and the government, to keep kicking the can down the road and creating all different sorts of arguments why they won't do the right thing. And to me, it's clear that it's just politically not expedient. So, in other words, they just don't care about the fact that they know it's the right thing, but for political reasons, they just want to do it. And they're creating all of these other arguments about the blueprint for change, this, that, and the next, when everybody knows it's the right thing to do. Violence is violence, and it should be a crime.
I appreciate clear voice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so this argument about the blueprint for change, and the reality is the government has committed to addressing violence in the country, committed to addressing all forms of discrimination against women, have committed to addressing women's equality. So if those things are on the blueprint for change, then certainly criminalizing violence against women, this particularly heinous form of violence against women, must be a part of the blueprint for change. And if our political leaders are not counteracting the stereotypes and the cultural norms that don't just lead to rape, but they are perpetuating the same violence that they claim to be against, these are the same stereotypes, these are the same cultural beliefs that not only create rape and create the environment for spousal rape, but all forms of sexual violence. And, we need to do better as political leaders, because we're not going to combat sexual violence by just having a policing strategy. It has to be combating the underlying causes, and those have to do with the cultural norms, the stereotypes, and these same beliefs that allow persons to feel that a woman's body does not belong to her. So I am strongly in support of this. And, I think that the conversations that you're having with your guests, walking them through, have been very, very effective. And we need more persons being willing to express their support of this, even in the face of being attacked and being called all manner and sorts of things. That's why many people don't speak up, because they don't want the stigma of just doing the right thing. But we have to be willing to push. We have to be willing to press. So thanks very much for your advocacy and creating this platform.
So I'm going to tell you something. I got a ton of texts. Do I have another call on the line? I have a ton of texts. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take this up again tomorrow. Because I think it's an important enough issue to allow for all these wonderful comments. Some of them are who are opposed. Some of them who are supportive to be heard. And so I'm going to take it up unless something really, 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 something different happens tomorrow. But I want to read this for you. It says, Mr. Lang, for some reason, people do not appreciate the fact that whether an allegation of crime can or cannot be proven is not relevant to whether the act should be a crime or not. If someone is accused of stealing, that may in certain circumstances be difficult to prove. But nobody disputes that stealing should still be a crime. With any crime, it must be proven. They're absolute. I could just say it more clear than that. This text says the problem is a matter of possession. It is perceived that women have no say over their body when they get married. Whatever the husband wants, he gets. That is the sad truth as to how people in this country view wives in this country. But certainly some people for sure. We talk about it some more. Because remember now, I started out this conversation talking about the political power dynamics. And I tell you this again, if you are a citizen of the country, I tell you this as somebody who has been in the political process, deeply in the political process. When you see a government doing something or not doing something, there is a political reason for that. And every political reason isn't about mass votes. Some political reasons are about interest, the political parties, the political operatives' interest. Sometimes it's about special interest. That special interest could be a group of persons. Maybe it's a disabled group. Maybe it's a women's group. Maybe it's a man's group. Maybe it's a business group or something. But be sure of it. Just when you see a government in the face of a huge amount of public dialogue deciding to do something one way or the other, any administration, Finland, Ingram, Christie, Minis Davis, anytime you see them doing it, all you have to do is ask, now, who is it that represents the power base of this particular political dynamic at the moment? So you have to ask. You will know why a thing is or is not being done. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We will be back tomorrow. God spares life. You all have a fantastic evening.
I'm not afraid.